This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for Wednesday, April 19th. I'm Curtis Fox. Today, Richard Wilbur on Stéphane Mallarmé on Edgar Allan Poe. Every Wednesday this month on the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, we're featuring a translation from the April issue of Poetry Magazine. The entire issue is dedicated to translations, and one of the translators is Richard Wilbur. Dana Gioia has said that Wilbur is one of the four greatest translators in the history of American poetry, up there with Longfellow, Pound, and Robert Fitzgerald. For the current issue of Poetry, Wilbur translated a poem by Stéphane Mallarmé called The Tomb of Edgar Poe. Mallarmé, of course, was the French symbolist poet from the late 19th century, and the French symbolists adored Edgar Allan Poe in a way that's hard for us Americans to comprehend. At the 25th anniversary of Poe's death, his body was reburied in Baltimore under a new monument. Mallarmé was asked to contribute a poem to a book of memorial tributes. He came up with the sonnet you're about to hear. In his translation, Richard Wilbur keeps the formal qualities of the original, even the rhyme, which, if you've ever tried to translate poetry, you'll know is not very easy. First the poem, then we'll hear what Wilbur has to say about it, and about Mallarmé and Poe. The reader is Michael Stuhlbarg.
The Tomb of Edgar Poe by Stéphane Mallarmé. Changed by eternity to himself at last, the poet, with the bare blade of his mind, thrusts at a century which had not divined death's victory in his voice, and is aghast. Aroused like some vile hydra of the past, when an angel proffered pure words to mankind, men swore that drunken squalor lay behind his magic potions and the spells he cast. The wars of earth and heaven, oh, endless grief! If we cannot sculpt from them a bas-relief to ornament the dazzling tomb of Poe, calm block here fallen from some far disaster, then let this boundary stone at least say no to the dark flights of blasphemy hereafter.
Michael Stuhlbarg reading The Tomb of Edgar Poe by Stéphane Mallarmé, and translated by Richard Wilbur, who says that Poe's reputation as an alcoholic was an exaggeration.
Poe's first biographer was the Reverend Rufus Griswold, and it was an extremely defamatory piece of work. It put a lot of stress on Poe's drinking problems and made much of what apparently had been a small matter, really, in Poe's life.
So it's not true that he died, he was found dead drunk in a ditch somewhere?
I think that was the final conjecture and slander of some people. Mm. It's also been conjectured more recently that Poe had a brain lesion, which made it difficult for him to tolerate alcohol even in very small quantities.
Mm-hmm. But Mallarmé believed that reputation, that Poe was a dissolute.
Well, I think he believed that Poe had been greatly slandered.
Oh, he did?
And that they had taken an angelic spirit like Poe and smeared it with accusations of alcoholism. And that, of course, is what he's saying in the second quatrain of his sonnet.
Aroused like some vile hydra of the past, when an angel proffered pure words to mankind, men swore that drunken squalor lay behind his magic potions and the spells he cast.
So he's refuting that. He's saying, no, that's not the case.
He's saying it's not true. He's saying that Poe was slandered.
Mm-hmm.
He's also saying that the magic of Poe's work certainly has nothing to do with alcohol.
Mm-hmm. So what is the argument of the poem? What is he saying about Edgar Allan Poe in this poem?
Well, that first line, that wonderful packed first line, is saying that Poe, now dead, has been reduced by eternity to his poems. And his poems now are himself and are eternal.
Changed by eternity to himself at last, the poet, with the bare blade of his mind, thrusts at a century which had not divined death's victory in his voice, and is aghast.
The poem then goes on to talk for 9 lines about the way his Poe's life was misconstrued by many of his contemporaries. Finally, in the zestad of the sonnet,
the last 6 lines.
Yes. Mallarmé is saying that this new monument should set a limit to traction of the Griswold kind hereafter.
The wars of earth and heaven, oh, endless grief. If we cannot sculpt from them a bas-relief to ornament the dazzling tomb of Poe, calm block here fallen from some far disaster, then let this boundary stone at least say no to the dark flights of blasphemy hereafter.
So basically this is a poem trying to right the reputation of somebody that Mallarmé loved.
Yes, he's really saying no more blasphemy now.
Uh-huh.
I understand that Mallarmé was drawn to Poe early in his life, and he said once that he had learned English so as to read Poe better. And of course, he went on to teach high school English, lycée English, as a job. So I think Poe figures really quite importantly in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a considerable resemblance between the apparent aesthetics of Poe and of Mallarmé. In Poe, one keeps coming across phrases like mountains toppling evermore into seas without a shore. Those are not imaginable mountains. You can't imagine a mountain that's toppling all the time.
Mm.
And seas really do need to have a shore if we're to get our minds around the idea of sea. The effect of that kind of thing is to abolish seas and mountains. And there's a great deal of abolition of the concrete in Poe, both by such contradictory expressions as I've quoted and by a certain vagueness and spellcasting quality that's in the poems. And one can find a good bit of the same thing in Mallarmé's poetry. I think that is a very clearly detectable influence of Poe on Mallarmé.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, why were the French poets of the 19th century so crazy about Edgar Allan Poe? And he wasn't known as a great poet in this country. He's still not thought of necessarily as a great poet in this country, but the French have always thought of him as a great poet. Why is that?
Yes, I think Poe's reputation in America has always been there. Everybody has always known Poe and known about Poe, but his reputation has always been a little shaky, a little dubious.
Mm-hmm.
In
a little unhealthy.
In France, not so. And I expect it's because Baudelaire, Mallarmé, and others admired his work, but also made him a symbol of the affliction of the spiritual poet by material society. The poet maudit, as they said, the suffering damned poet.
Mm-hmm.
I think there also was a great deal of response in France to Poe's criticism. He was one of the first people to express the idea of art for art's sake alone. And that was an idea very attractive to the symbolists as they came along.
Richard Wilbur, whose translation of The Tomb of Edgar Poe is in the April issue of Poetry Magazine. You can read several of the translations from that issue on their website, poetrymagazine.org, and you can also hear some audio versions of the poems as well. Richard Wilbur is this year's winner of the 2006 Lilly Award, a prize given out by the Poetry Foundation. You can read an interview with Wilbur and lots of his poems at poetryfoundation.org, where you'll also find poetry news, features, and more audio. Tomorrow on the poetryfoundation.org podcast, an audio portrait of Linda Beards.
When I was much younger, before I joined the university, I was a file clerk. And they would always say that. They'd say, Linda, write a, you know, could you do a little poem for Jeff, who's retiring? And if I, you know, they would never like it. It was, you know, like, oh, no, please don't ask me to do that.
We'd really like to know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this podcast comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.